This is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. The president and director of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution recently announced she's stepping down when her contract ends in June. Susan Avery is the first female to lead the institution. She took the helm in 2008 as the nation's financial situation was rapidly deteriorating. WCAI producer Elsa Partan sat down with Avery last week to talk about the future of the oceanographic. She asked her why she's stepping down now.
I've loved my time at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. My contract ends at the end of June of 2015, and the timing is my choice, and the timing of doing stepping down then is really based on the timing of where the institution stands. It will have been 7.5 years as president and director of the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, and you know that's a good long time, probably an average time for being at the head of an institution. And I'm going to remain available for a transition, so I really wanted the institution to have a smooth transition. Unlike the previous transition, was a little more chaotic. And so I'd like to have that overlap for that smooth transition and smooth handoff of leadership responsibilities.
What are the oceanographic's biggest accomplishments over the last 6 years?
Yeah, I think there have been many. Actually, the institution, I'm very proud of what the institution has accomplished. I think that there have been great science accomplishments. We have a cadre of extraordinary scientists and engineers. And all you have to do is kind of look on our website or even on the website of the National Science Foundation to see how many scientific accomplishments are highlighted in a broad scientific arena. You know, they continue to make preeminent contributions across the physics, the chemistry, the biology, the geology, and the workings of our planet in terms of climate, coastal issues, biology, and conservation, all the way to studying the great frontier of the ocean in many ways. It's hard to say there's one thing. If I were to say there's been sort of a bigger agenda that's been quite successful, it's the work that was done in the Arctic, that preliminary work, that the design and the development of new technologies and getting up into the Arctic to understand this very, very important part of our climate system. We do have scientists in the Antarctic as well who are really looking at similar processes of what's happening in the Antarctic as well. These are really important climate changes. I'm very impressed with the work that is being done to understand the microbial world of our ocean, the microbiome, if you will, of the ocean, and its healthy functioning. I'm very impressed with what we've been able to do in ocean acidification and what we would like to do more in ocean acidification. The list could go on. It would be unfair to single out any more. There's just so many great accomplishments that the institution has done on the science side. On the engineering side, it's been a very active 6 years. We've done a major overhaul of the submersible Alvin. It is now working for science again, and everyone's very, very pleased with it, and I'm very pleased with that accomplishment. We've done a lot of work with getting set up for a new ship. The research vessel Neil Armstrong will be coming online sometime in the first half of next year, and that's very exciting. We will be retiring the Knorr this December, which will be a bittersweet moment. We've had a major effort this 6 years in building, designing and building and deploying components of the NSF-funded Ocean Observatories Initiative. And to me, once this network is fully operational, even now, it's going to allow scientists to take on new challenging questions that they haven't been able to before. When you have data that's coming in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 300 days a year. This is a new framework for ocean scientists to be working in. So that's really quite exciting as well. And then we've formed the new Center for Marine Robotics, and we have a new director, Jim Bellingham. It's going to be quite exciting. And this is really the opportunity to coalesce a lot of our robotics efforts in looking at the future of marine co-robotics, i.e. the interface between machine and humans, and what it's going to do for the future science, as well as how industry might work in the ocean and how the Navy might be working in the ocean in the future. So I think these are, you know, technology-wise, we've done a great many things. There's been great new sensors underwater microscopes, the integration of the genetics labs into moorings, and the list can go on.
You mentioned the OOI, the Ocean Observatory Initiative. The program actually got off to a bit of a rocky start, and I wonder whether you feel like it's back on track. In 2012, the program actually lost funding because of it wasn't meeting expectations. Is it back on track?
I think it is on track. As far as the what we've been are certainly our part of the program. I won't comment on other parts of the program just because I'm not as knowledgeable about it. But overall, I think the program is on track. It was a rocky start. It began rather quickly because of the urgency of responding to stimulus funding in many ways. And so perhaps we didn't have enough planning time before it officially started. But I think we've learned a lot, and we've developed capacity to do large projects that the institution didn't have prior to OOI. Large projects in the way of large managed projects.
This was $100 million.
This is $100 million. Yeah. This is not $5 million. This is $100 million. And it's putting assets in the ocean for a long period of time. 25 years is supposed to be the lifetime of this
And we network. Should say the network, there are big buoys. They are sending data constantly. They're picked up by satellites. It is the first of its kind.
Yes, and it's not just buoys. There's gliders that are going through these. Autonomous underwater vehicles will be going through these. Profilers that are going up and down in the ocean. There's nested grids of these platforms with standard state variables that you're going to measure. And then the opportunity for scientists in the community to add new sensors to the network and try things out. So it's something that a lot of other countries are looking at very closely, and our success will probably determine what other countries might do.
It seems that financial challenges have been the biggest issue to HUI's stability over the last decade. In 2009, you ended the year more than $10 million in the red, and there were some unexpected layoffs in 2012. What can you tell us about the institution's financial state right now?
I think we're in a very good position. It's been a challenging time for all research institutions, and universities have had this challenge as well. We cannot be complacent with the expectation that the federal funding that we've had in the past is going to continue. That's why over these 6 years, we've been really very much focused on diversifying our funding base, looking for other opportunities, both in the federal network of agencies, but also in with private sources, philanthropic sources, foundations, and as well as with exploring the for-profit sector. Keeping in mind, though, that the fundamental mission of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, to know the ocean, is basically looking at its great discoveries that's going to happen, and exploring the unknown, are basically trying to determine the unknown unknowns. And working on those. And being one of my jobs has been very strongly advocating for the continuation of federal funding, public support for fundamental research. It's in a great financial position right now. I have begun, did phase one of what internally we're calling a blueprint process. It's a little bit more than different than a strategic plan, but it's basically looking at our future. What are the opportunities? What's the opportunities for growth? What's the opportunities for expansion? How do we change our business model in order to meet this more diverse portfolio? What type of scientific questions really emerge that we should be tackling? So it's a little bit more than a strategic plan because it's looking at the whole organization. And so I've been building up the building blocks for a final plan that's going to be developed. And that's when I started looking at my timing and being here 7.5 years. I know that the final plan is going to take several years to implement. And I also know that it's really critical for whoever is going to implement that take ownership of the plan and really be part of the development of the plan. And, you know, after 7.5 years, some new eyes and some new leadership in that area, but taking the building blocks that we've put in place over the last 6 years, it's the right time to go. And it'll be 7.5 years. I still have the building blocks. I'm still working on building blocks throughout this period, these next 8 months. And so I think we'll be okay. We're on a steady road to new sustainability in new ways.
I want to stay on finances a bit longer. HUI scientists who win grants to pay salary currently have to bring in a bit more than 3 times more money than is needed for the experiment. It's called the overhead rate, and mm-hmm. it pays for keeping the facilities and the administration going. And all institutions like HUI have this kind of policy. You're not alone. But many have said HUI's is just too high, that 3 times rate. Are you concerned about the overhead rate in terms of finances?
That's one of the things we look at constantly, is trying to keep that overhead rate down. Now, the overhead rate includes not just the operating cost, overhead operating costs that you called, but also the fringe benefits of employees. And one of the things that has really been driving some of the costs is basically pension plans. And the business practices that we have to operate under federal guidelines and the downfall of the market. So a lot of this is not under my control. It's under the controlling factors of markets and decisions by the federal government. We have a proposal in to our federal auditors right now for a different overhead model, okay, that would spread costs across all of the activities or all of the allowable activities of the institution rather than just labor. This is hopefully not getting too technical for your
listeners. But right now, there's no overhead rate on ship time,
for
example.
There's no overhead rate. The only thing that overhead rate is charged on is people. So if you have fewer people or your salary base declines, your overhead rate goes up. We have been on the overhead side, the operating side. We have made many decisions about efficiencies, enhancing certain things, consolidating other things, letting go of certain things, finding ways to do business more efficiently and more effectively. And that's something that we'll continue to push in the future as well. Ultimately, getting that multiplier down.
How have your 6 years shaped the institution, do you think?
I think part of my time here and what I'm most proud of, let's say, is the new team that we have in place. It is a team that brings different skill sets to the institution than we had previously. A team that is looking at that can work together. I mean, it's really a great team to work with. I can't do this alone. It's the people you hire that are the important legacy of anyone. I'm very proud of some of the hiring we've done on the scientific staff. We did a cluster hire, which was a group hiring, if you will, in the climate area. I'm very pleased with that, as well as some of the other great outstanding hires that we've accomplished. I think that's another important legacy. So it's really people. Your legacy is in the people that you bring on board. And the capacity that they have to continue to make this institution the world-class institution it is.
That was President and Director of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, Susan Avery, speaking with WCAI producer Elsa Partan. Avery recently announced she will step down when her contract ends next June. The institution has begun the search for its next president. We'll take a short break here. When we come back, Sean Corcoran talks about WCAI's new 10-part series on the future of New England's energy series. Stay tuned.